Good morning. Today is Friday, April the 15th. It's not tax day. It's the Friday before tax day this year.
The reprieve until Monday.
And somebody said it's because there's a holiday. It's not a federal holiday, but it's a holiday in a couple of states. Emancipation Day? Something.
You're right.
It was either that or Eucharist Day. It was E and it was a long word.
I think it's Emancipation Day.
And I'm not sure
what states they celebrate that in.
Yeah, somewhere. Yeah, well. Everywhere this year. Joining us this morning is Arcata City Manager Karen Diemer. Our quote this morning, from Seneca in 63. Just
a few years back.
63. It's better to have useless knowledge than to know nothing. Kind of sums up a whole lot of what's going on these days, doesn't it?
So we enter into the weekend anyway.
So what's been the last big protest that's been in Arcata? I was driving in this morning, and there was some news story. It just triggered, and I remember, 25 years ago, every other week, something was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it was the Sanders Clinton debate, and they were kind of starting to get a little excited about things, and there was some emotion there instead of everybody patting themselves on the back. And I thought, geez, we don't have the kind of stuff around here anymore. Okay. And you just flash back, the sanctuary city, the nuclear free zone, and all those things. Is Arcata getting gentrified?
No, I don't think that. I think that there's just better ways to engage the community in those types of conversations. And I think we have a lot of that debate, and we call it sort of spirited discussion at our council meetings, where the community comes out and talks through issues that are important to them. I also think that both the city and the university have made efforts in, maybe even the last 10 years to have additional areas of community dialogue when there are issues of controversy or differences, that they can come together and talk about those either on campus or off campus. And but there is still,
it's still going on. It's just that the general community is, or those outside of the Humboldt, or out of the Arcata Humboldt State community, may not have it blasted across the front page or all over the news like it used to.
Right. Well, when we had, sort of the big debate over the 1%, several years back. And in Arcata, we had our protest on the lawn of City Hall, but the council went out and talked with them every day, and they ultimately disbanded.
It's 8:19.
Never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Karen Diemer. I didn't know you didn't want to talk about it, but I'm going to at least ask so you can. I can ask a follow up to the question I had during the break before the music
kicked.
There you go. Eureka has announced that they're going to be doing something interesting regarding the homeless in order to clear up the area so they can do the trail extension along the bay,
mm-hmm.
and keep the funding associated with that.
Right.
I've asked a couple of guys in other states that are buddies of mine, what do you do? And they just get, oh gosh, this is another California thing.
Well, it's not just a California thing, that's for sure.
But they may be in climates where they don't have the issues that we have here. I don't see a lot of shipping containers all over Arcata. What do you guys do for, as a homeless shelter or to comply with what current case law is in dealing with homeless issues?
Arcata's housing element of our general plan and our homeless services plan has focused on the same model that I think the county and Eureka have adopted, which is housing first. And we've continued to build low-income and affordable housing. So this year, well, in 2015, a large partnership of Arcata House Partnership is sort of the lead, had, not Arcata House Partnership, but Humboldt, Arcata Housing, has built 30 new units, 42 beds. That's right along Samoa Boulevard, specific housing for the homeless. Some of them have placements from Arcata House Partnership. Some of them have placements from county mental health services, and then some at large. And so that is the most current project that we've had for adding additional housing for the homeless specifically. We're also in the process of doing 14 additional affordable low and very low income units, which we call Creamery Row, that Danco is building. So we've continued to try to increase housing stock for those low and very low income strategies.
I know this is going to sound goofy because it seems like the answer would be really obvious. But what is the difference between low, very low, and I guess whatever else is the free stuff? Is there, is it? Right.
It's just a financial guideline. So how much sort of the eligibility guidelines for what types of housing subsidies you can receive based on your income. One of the things that's challenging.
So they have to get into the system, the application, there's a vetting process. It's not just somebody with a backpack walking up, knocking on the door and saying, I demand to have.
Right. Depending on the level of services that each individual is eligible for, there's a, you know, maybe a suite of housing opportunities that might be available to them. But I will say from, you know, the Golden Gate Bridge North, finding available housing units for low, very low, and at this point, you know, homeless individuals is a challenge.
Isn't it in San Francisco?
Yeah, and south of the Golden Gate, I would imagine as well. But, you know, we talk with our colleagues really sort of north of the Bay Area and just finding available units, even for counties like Humboldt and Mendocino and Marin that have available vouchers that would be available to veterans or to certain, you know, homeless that meet that criteria. Then they might have a voucher, they could move into housing, but we just don't have the housing stock available. So, you know, I just think that we're going to have a number of strategies to move our homeless population into permanent housing, and it has to be tied, as we've all said, with supportive services for them.
The monitoring component. Mm-hmm. When you say support, it sounds like they're receiving even more stuff rather than making sure that everybody's playing by the rules.
Well, it's both monitoring, but it is supportive services. So if they need alcohol and drug counseling, if they need medical care, if they need supportive education services, if it's a family environment, you know, if they're raising kids. And so, for example, the housing that was built in Arcata in 2015 with the collaborative, each of those residents are visited by somebody every day. You know, that's part of that supportive housing environment.
How did this become government responsibility? Is that just something year by year, step by step, it's gotten to the point? I mean, I can't imagine after World War II that there were a lot of, this would have been unacceptable. Or after World War I, this would have been acceptable, just as time eras in the past. Where did this come from in the last little bit where you guys are having to spend tax monies that could into this arena?
Yeah, and I don't know if it's really just been a little bit. I mean, as long as I go back, even in Arcata's history, we see discussions that the community is having with, you know, how do you house whatever whatever term of the decade they were called, you know, whether they were sort of the hippies or, you know, the hobos or how they were moving through. But in essence, I think there has been a homeless or transitory population.
Rather than a lockdown.
Well, and I would say as long as I've been in Humboldt County, there has been some of both, you know, certainly in Arcata. Now, whether or not that population has really grown tremendously or not, you know, the point in time count surveys would say, yes, we have seen an increase in that more permanent population in this area.
And a larger percentage of the population. It seems to be that.
Yeah. I mean, our numbers in north of the Bay Area are pretty staggering on a per capita basis, you know, when you compare nationwide.
Gee, what would be consistent in northwestern California, in Sonoma, Mendocino, Humboldt, and Dunlard County? We'll reflect on that during the break.
It's
8:30.
Yes.
We do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:36. We're back Talking Shop this morning with Arcata City Manager Karen Diemer. Talk Shop presented by Redick and by CDH Painting. Karen, if the economy wasn't stagnant like ours is, and Dunlard and Mendocino County also, or maybe if it was just legal, so it was out in the open and things were happening, or a legalized industry, and we didn't have the underground stuff going on. But you could see growth, you could feel it, you could smell it. You know, there would be saws and hammers and cement trucks and things showing life and economic viability. And there were jobs. Any idea how much of this homeless problem goes away? Or the opportunity for them to get employment then is there? So those that want to do and the other guys kind of go to somewhere else. Has there been any studies along those lines?
Well, I would think Humboldt County is a study in that. I mean, in Arcata, we've seen huge job growth in the last several years, and we've seen several local businesses struggle to find employees. I mean, Wing Inflatable is the perfect example of that. They were adding 70 new jobs this last year. With a reconfiguration that they've did, and they've gotten several new contracts for, you know, additional services. So, and they've struggled to find the workforce that they need to stay
everybody
here.
Everybody says that. So I'm wondering if it's a state condition because of state support rather than sometimes the economy. I mean, yeah. I can give you 15 businesses probably in 5 minutes that are looking for people,
right.
But they got to pass the drug test. They got to understand that 8 o'clock means 8 o'clock. Right. Not 9:15 on the days you feel like working. Just a dependable, reliable workforce is really tough to come by.
It is, and it's something that I think we're going to really need to build here within, you know, if we start to have better paying long-term jobs, then we'll be able to retain some of our kids that are raised in this community that want to stay, you know, is my sense, for longer periods. Whether or not that's going to change our current homeless population, I think is a better question for our mental health services, because I do think there is a tremendous amount of mental health instability within that population that needs to be addressed before they're going to be viable workers in our community.
Could you, as the grand dame of Arcata, say, guys, here's where we're going to spend the monies for this. We're going to do intervention counseling. We're going to do substance abuse counseling. We're going to have not apartments. We're going to have larger housing, not warehouse, because that
sounds
like the Super Bowl.
Right.
But we're not going to spend as much doing infrastructure, we're going to do more doing mental structure.
Yeah.
M-E-N-T.
Right. Well, historically and still today, cities really don't have financial resources to spend in those areas.
But you're building buildings.
Right. But so all of that is money that we're leveraging through the states and through the federal government or through county mental health services that come into our communities. So for better or worse, those funding sources come with strings and requirements that are the state and the federal's latest and best solution to, you know, the issue that we're trying to address, whether it's housing or mental health services, counseling, intervention. And, you know, we can start to pair some of those funding sources, as you saw with Measure Z, which was a locally generated funding source, to do exactly what you're talking about. And they started their program that they call MIST, the Mobile Intervention Services Team, that are going into areas of high homeless encampments and starting to talk and build relationships between that homeless population and mental health professionals and local law enforcement to try to figure out solutions to come in. So those are monies that we voted in here locally to start to address that issue in ways that the federal government and the state wasn't addressing. But those monies are hard to come by.
For the state?
I think it could be a model for the state. I know we're looking to try to expand something similar in Arcata, and I know the county's looking at expanding up into the McKinleyville area. So they do feel like it's been successful in Eureka.
Is there a component for the criminal justice system also in this?
That's a complicated question.
That's why I asked it. It would seem to me that there's, rather than just incarceration or not processing, you know,
right,
the misdemeanor stuff, but there's some component of responsibility, I guess.
And rehabilitation, when you come into the criminal justice system as a first-time offender. And there is some legislation, and there have been some programs that have started to be developed. And as hopefully more money gets funneled towards those programs, we can see first-time offenders going into rehab and staying out of the harder core incarceration environment, which we know can just breed additional crime when they come out.
KINS, News and Information Time, is 8:41. We'll be back with more from Karen Deamer.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:45. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Karen Deamer. Karen, you want to talk about the community choice energy really quick. You got 4 minutes.
All right. Well,
knock your socks off.
Our city council next Wednesday night will be taking its final step in initiating what's called community choice energy. And it is a regional program that is going to be implemented, operated through Redwood Coast Energy Authority. But it stems from a piece of legislation that allows local communities to actually purchase electricity on behalf of their residents and businesses. So the community itself, our Greater Humble Bay community, will be purchasing electricity on behalf of you, me, our residents, our businesses in the area. Currently, that procurement is provided by PG&E. Community choice energy programs are still much in partnership with PG&E as PG&E continues to handle all the distribution. That's their franchise through the state of California. So we have just completed, Redwood Coast Energy completed a request for proposals to bring in a team of people to help us start to develop a procurement strategy. But the goals of community choice energy are really twofold for our area. And the first is to stabilize rates. If we can look at long-term power procurement contracts, then we can secure those prices for long periods of time. That's what community choice energy was really built on along the East Coast. Here on the West Coast, as community choice energy has rolled out, we have seen also an influence of trying to increase the renewable section of your portfolio. Can you green your energy? Can you be more dependent on renewables than you are in some of the traditional fossil fuels?
Is that part of what Fairhaven has been doing.
So that's part of potentially all three biomass plants could be included as part of our procurement policy through this community choice energy. But it would allow us to make local decisions long term. So one of them is to try to stabilize rates. The second is to try to support local power efforts, whether those are the current local biomass plants or in the future, once these programs get up and running. You know, we expect within about 5 years to have developed a reserve of funds that could be used to develop local power projects, whether they were solar or wind or, you know, aggregate between communities all doing solar together. Paying a higher rate for local solar on your homes, whatever that is, we can work on that. But the whole premise of it is community choice. And so I think it's exciting. Arcata's been working on it probably for over 5 years now and has really been hoping that we would have a regional solution as opposed to having just to go it on our own. And we've really seen both the county, the city of Eureka, and Fortuna all step up and have an interest in it. So I think it's something that the community should start to watch and start to ask about, because we will be rolling that out in the next 6 months.
So right about the time we need the energy for heating.
That's right.
Is this foo-foo?
No, it's not. There is a lot of money. So the two successful choice programs in the state are Marin and Sonoma. So, you know, again, sort of Northern California leading the way in that. But they have both built extremely successful energy projects that not only currently beat the rates from PG&E, but also have started to reinvest in local power projects, which means, as we talk about, local power jobs.
And success is defined as financial success?
Financial success and local job success, yeah. They really have. So no, not foo-foo at all.
Is there like a plant involved, or is this just neighborhoods coming on board?
We will roll out community by community. So a lot of times in these, you'll take maybe your top 20%, your highest electricity customers first, and then roll out slower into the residential sector.
But you'll never know where those addresses are, because that's proprietary information. I remember. Thanks for coming by.
Have a good weekend.
See you on Monday.